Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms 107. Let's all stand in reverence to God's Word. Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Amen. Let's pray. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we do thank You for all You do for us. Lord, we thank You that You are good. Lord, that You are merciful toward us. Lord, we thank You for all You do for us each and every day that we just take for granted. Lord, we're thankful for this country we live in. It's still the greatest country on earth. Lord, it has its problems, but Lord, You know what they are. Lord, we know that You're in control, and Lord, we thank You for it. I do ask, Lord, as I bring this message that You've laid on my heart, that, Lord, I would say exactly what You've laid on my heart to say. Lord, I ask that You work in the hearts of each person here this morning. Lord, I believe that every time we meet in Your name and, Lord, to preach or teach Your word, that, Lord, it is a divine appointment, that none of it's just accidental, that we're here for a purpose. And Lord, we just ask You to work in each heart, and Lord, that Your word would not fall on deaf ears, take away from our hearts and minds, our thoughts of this past week or what we've got coming up to do, and Lord, that we put it all on You. I ask You to hide me behind that cross. Lord, it's nothing to do with me. It's all about Jesus. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Very familiar passage of Scripture we're going to go to. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Matthew, Mark, Luke. That's in the New Testament. Not too far past Genesis. Little ways anyway. Luke chapter 15 and verse 11 it says, And he said, A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all there, arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was, But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. Here we have a very familiar passage. If you've ever been in church, more than likely you've heard preach on the prodigal son. And it really, that's not what I'm going to get into too much, but we're going to give you a little background of him. Now, I want you to understand a parable is an earthly story, but it has a heavenly meaning. And this has got a heavenly meaning. I believe this young man was a saved young man. I believe he was already a child of God. I don't believe this is about getting saved, but I will tell you this. If you're here today, I believe it's by divine appointment that you are here. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus, if you honestly can't look me in the face and say, "Brother Jim, if I die today, I'll go to heaven," I'm going to tell you something. You need to get saved. And Jesus will in no wise turn you away. He says that if you'll trust in Him, if you'll believe that He's the Son of God, and if you'll believe that He died on the cross, He shed His blood for you, and you repent of what you're doing, He says, "I'll save you." And that's an eternal salvation. And by the way, I don't care what people say, you can't lose that salvation. Because if you can lose it, that's telling me that something's stronger than God. Oh, I've had people say, "Well, brother, I can sin enough to lose it, so you're stronger than God." No. You can't lose that. Once we've asked the Lord to save us, once we've trusted in Him, we're sealed to the day of redemption. John 10, 28 and 29 tells us we're placed in the hand of Christ, we're placed in the hand of God, and no man can pluck you from the Father's hand. Ephesians 4, 30 says you are sealed until the day of redemption. Guess what? You're sealed until the day says, "Hey, let's go. We hear a toot, we'll scoot out of here. We'll be going to heaven, amen. And listen, I won't need this garbage." That's where I talked to a boy last night, young man. I was hoping he'd be here today, but he said he may come. His name's Blake. Pray for him. I give him a track. Most respectful young man I've met in the state of Nevada, other than what goes to church here. And I told him, I said, "Well, tell me something." I said, "You know you're going to heaven?" I said, "If I die," he said, "Well, sir, we're all going to die." I said, "Well, you got a point." I said, "But I'll pick on me, not you." I said, "If I die, will I see you in heaven one day?" I said, "Because I know I'm going." "Well, yeah, I'll be there." I said, "Well, how come you know that?" "Well, I've always been good." He said, "I've tried to be good. My grandma raised me right." And I said, "Listen, I said, you're good ain't going to get you nowhere. I said, the only thing that's going to get you to heaven is trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ." And I handed him a tract and I said, "You read this and you honestly do what this tract says from your heart." And I said, "And one of these days when I die," I said, "I'll see you in heaven." I said, "And you can count on it. You don't have to have a hope so, you can have a know so." Amen. You can know you're going to heaven. You know, I hope everybody in here, and I don't know your hearts, but I hope you have a know-so salvation. I hope you know that it ain't nothing you can do. It's all on Jesus. And I leave it all to Him. Listen, I'm kept by His power, not Him. I'm not kept with Jesus because of what I can do. Listen, a few weeks ago, I couldn't even hardly get around. I came home one day after surgery and I couldn't have done nothing. She could have beat me up. But it's all Jesus. We're kept by Him. But listen, this young man went out and he told his father, he said, "Hey, Father, give me all of my stuff." You see, he already was part of the Father. Father give him all of his stuff, and then not long after that, what's he do? He goes bebopping off to another country, because listen, when you're young and stupid, you want to do things like that. And he goes off, and he's going to live it up and do what he wants, and he did. He didn't just blow his money on just little things, you know, having a good... No, he blew his money on prostitution. He blew his money on maybe drinking, maybe drugs. I don't know what all he done, but he said he done it in riotous living. In other words, he went out and just basically, in my terms, he went out and lived like hell. I've done that. I've been there, saved, and did that. That's why this story is so good to me. Because see, for a lot of years, I lived on that side that most folk couldn't have said, yeah, he's saved, he's going to heaven. I knew I was, but you couldn't have told it by looking at me. You know, that's why I like this story. This guy went out and done this. Verse 17 says, and he came to himself. Let me tell you in my terms, common sense kicked in. That's what happened to him. He's laid out there in the hog pen, been slopping around with them, eating whatever they've got. And if you've ever dealt with hogs, that's nasty. Hogs are just nasty. Not only was he a Jew and wasn't even supposed to mess with a pig, I won't even get into that. But the point is, there he is. He's eating the husk. He ain't even getting the corn niblets. And he says, you know what? This is stupid. My father's servants are living better than me. And here I lay up in this with the hogs. You know, I hate to even have to say this, but unfortunately, sometimes in people's lives, you got to hit rock bottom. Some people are just hard-headed. I'm one of them. I'd butt that wall and back up and do it again just to see if it really hurt. It's just stupid. But listen, you don't have to. You don't have to do that. If you'll turn to Jesus Christ right now, He will in no wise turn you away. He won't. He'll save you a whole lot of misery, a whole lot of sorrow, and a whole lot of possibly fatal tragedy. I've seen people that have stood by caskets because they didn't turn around. And they finally got to the bottom and they said, where else could they look? They had to look up. When you look up, you look to Jesus. Listen, you can save yourself a whole lot of problems if you'll turn to Him instead of go through your problems. Now, that was just the intro. Now I want to get to what I really wanted to talk about. The very first thing we read was God is good. He's merciful. You see, this young man come home, and while he was on his way, the father was standing there and he said, oh, that's my boy. You see, he didn't say, well, sorry, dog, wait till he's got to come up here and ask me forgiveness. He's going to have to come up here. He's going to have to cover it. No. You know what he did? He ran to him. Grabbed him up and hugged him. Listen, you see, I lived a life that wasn't real good, but I was a child of the King. And so when I looked at that story over the years, I'm like, wow, I know where he's coming from. I don't know what your life holds. I don't know what you've been doing. But if you'll turn it over to Jesus, listen, Jesus ain't going to say, well, you got to do this, this, and this. Nah. All you got to do is take a step in God's direction, and He'll be right there for you. You see, James chapter 4 and 7, and let's just go there. The book of James, chapter 4. If you find Hebrews, keep going, you'll get there. James chapter 4, verse 7 tells us, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Now, look at verse 8. He says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Draw nigh to God. Here you are, maybe you've got everything is falling apart around you. Life is just, it's like, what am I going to do? You take a step toward God, and he'll be right there for you. See, by taking that step toward God, you've just did what? You've humbled yourself. You have admitted, listen, I can't fix the problem. But God can. Oh, how can you get close to God? Repair the broken relationship. You see, when we get way off on that hog pen level, we break our relationship. How can we fix that with Him? Well, James tells us, humble yourself. Yield to Him. Yield your will to Him. Say, you know what? Commit my life to you, Lord. I'm under your control, and follow him. That's what he tells us to do. Resist the devil. In other words, don't fall to the temptations. Give it to God. Listen, give your temptations to God. Get up in the morning and say, Lord, I'm going to go out in the world. I've got all of these things I've got to do. Protect me from evil. Put a hedge of protection about me. Help me not to fall to Satan's traps. Because trust me, he's got some good ones. Give it to God. Clean up your backyard. Yep, your mom ever tell you to clean up your own backyard before you go messing? How'd she used to tell me that? Sweep around your own back door before you sweep around somebody else's? Look, if I'm supposed to help my brother, how am I going to do that if I got a log in my eye? I can't even see where I'm going. I got to get that out of my eye first before I can help him get it out of his eye. Clean up your own backyard. Romans 13:14 says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." In other words, get it together. Humble yourself with God. Submit yourself with God. Put on Jesus Christ like you would put on a glove. And don't lay the stuff, "Well, I ain't going to look at pornography anymore." But you keep it under your mattress just in case. You're making provisions for the flesh. "Well, I ain't going to drink alcohol no more." I know that's a Christian thing to do now, but listen, according to the Word of God, it ain't. "But I'm not going to do that anymore." Well, don't leave it sitting in the back of the refrigerator covered up with the tea just in case. You don't do that. "Well, I ain't going to shoot up with my LSD and heroin no more, and whatever your choice is." Well, don't leave a little bit in a box somewhere just in case. Get rid of it. Do away with the problem. And then say, "Now, Lord, give me the strength to do what you want me to do. Give me the strength to live the way you want me to live." Listen, we got to clean up some ourselves. Now, I'm going to be up front with you. You can't clean up without Jesus. But he tells us, don't put stuff over here just in case. You know, "Well, I ain't going to eat no more of these fattening foods no more." Personally, I like them. But if you're one of them kind of people, "I'm not going to eat this fattening food," Well, then don't keep a ton of lard laying around. Get rid of the Snicker bar. Get rid of your bananas. All of that kind of stuff. Quit eating what tastes good. But don't leave it laying around just in case you might want it. Nutter butter peanut butter sandwich cookie. Them are good. I like them. Somebody told me one time, my wife got this idea. She wanted to go on a diet. We're going to do this diet. And I'm like, oh, whatever, I ain't a diet person. Well, you can't eat this. I said, I ain't doing it. I might cut back on it, but I ain't giving it up. Hey, I like fried eggs. I like butter. I like bacon. I like sausage. That stuff is good for you. I don't need to eat the whole tube in the morning. You know, maybe one instead of six. You don't put stuff back if you decided, if you say, you know what, Lord, I need help with this problem I've got. Now, I'm going to tuck it over here just in case. You're planning to fail. You're planning on falling down. Get rid of that. Be sorrowful for your sins. A deep grief for the sins you've been indulging in. By the way, those same sins are what put Jesus on the cross. Look at verse 9 of James chapter 4. He said, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let not your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy, let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. In other words, seriously, be sorrowful for your sins. Honestly, we ought to be sorrowful for them. You know why? Because of what I just told you a second ago. That's what put Jesus on the cross. Those exact sins that we hide in the fridge, the ones that we've got in the back closet, those sins is what put Jesus on the cross. But yet we want to hang on to them. Now, you need to get rid of that. Look at verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Listen, God is good to us. He provides, He protects, has mercy on us. He has patience with us. Oh, I thank God that He's got patience. I praise the Lord for long suffering. Listen, God's grace is getting what we don't deserve, which is eternal life, blessings. You can add all kind of stuff in that. Happiness, peace, joy. See, that's what the grace of God gives me. For by grace are you saved through faith. I'm saved by God's grace. I get all of these things. That's God's grace that I didn't deserve. But you see, mercy is not getting what we do deserve. If we're saved, by the way, you won't be judged for your sins. See, if you trusted the Lord Jesus, you're not going to be judged for the sins. I'm not going to be judged for sins that I'm going to commit next week. I don't want to commit them, but I will, because I'm flesh and I'm weak. And I've got that, you know, it comes in front of you and you're like, whoa. And then you're, oh man, I shouldn't have thought that way. I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have done that. But see, I'm not going to be judged for them. Because that's already been nailed to the cross. If I'm not saved, which I don't have to worry about that, but if you're here and you're not saved, listen, you're going to get what you deserve. And that's a place called hell. It's an eternity without God. But see, if you're saved, you get God's mercy on you. You're not going to get what you deserve. You're going to get that eternal life. Well, that's good. Listen, God also cares for you when you're hurting. See, not only does He provide for me, not only does He protect me, not only is He willing that when I go out and just get plain down stupid, He accepts me back. All I got to do is ask forgiveness, and He picks me right up. Not only that, but guess what? When I'm hurting, when I've got things going on in my life that I don't tell nobody else, maybe when the doctor tells you some news you didn't really want to hear. When I got children problems, spouse problems, whatever it may be, and I'm hurting, and my burden is just like caving in on me, and it's like I'm carrying around this huge bag of boulders, and I'm just about to hit the floor. It's like, man, I've had all I can handle. You know what Jesus says? He said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Getting the yoke with Jesus. You know what a yoke is? It's a thing, kind of a big deal. Two big ox got in it, and they worked. But see, sometimes you feel like there ain't another ox in there with you. And you're out there and you're doing it all. You are just plowing away and you're like, man, I just cannot go. I can't get any further. What am I going to do? And you know what Jesus says? He said, turn to me. He said, get in the yoke with me and I'll take it. You know what that pictures to me? That pictures, here's this big, huge ox. He's in that yoke and here's little old me. When I get in the yoke with Jesus, that ox don't even know I'm there. He's doing the work. Listen, Jesus will take your burden. He will lift it up off of your back. He will carry it for you. You will not have the problem. You don't have to go through it if you'll turn to Jesus. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. My marriage is falling apart, or my business is falling apart, or I've got rotten kids, or whatever it may be. Turn it over to Jesus and He'll help you take care of it. That's all you need to do. You just really need to turn it to Him. You know what? And that's the hardest thing it is for people to do. Psalm 145, 14 says, the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. Them burdens just get really heavy. But you know what? God's right there for us. All we got to do is ask Him. If you're here this morning and you're bending under a really heavy load, things are about to just fall apart. You don't understand how to fix it. You don't understand what you're going to do. Listen, I don't know what's in your life. But you need to turn it over to God. You need to give it to Him. How do I do that? I'm going to tell you something. You can do it right where you sit. All you got to do is start praying to the Lord. Tell Him, listen, I got these problems. Lord, help me. You be serious about it. Or you can come to the altar. Or you can come up here and talk to me. I'll pray with you. You don't have to tell me what your problem is. I don't need to know that. All I need to know is that you need special prayer. Maybe you're here and you say, I don't have that convenience. I can't go to the Lord because I don't know Him. Listen, I'd show you how to be saved. Well, I don't want to give up all this stuff. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell me that you got to give up anything to get saved. All it says is you got to trust the Lord Jesus with all your heart. Believe that He is the Son of God and died for your sins. You repent. Say, Lord, save me. And He won't turn you away. You'll be saved. I will tell you the truth. If you truly get saved, there's some things that's going to change in your life. I'm not going to lie to you. But I leave that between you and God. Let's stand. Brother Roby, if you'll come up. Play Amazing Grace, brother. Every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking around.